Amen. We serve a great God, and He's on the throne, and everything works together for His purpose, and we'll give Him glory for it. Amen. I'm a recovering pessimist. I'm speaking on a full basket today, so I know where I'm coming from on this pessimistic end. My initials are, well, my name's Stephen Grant Adams, SG. And my brother used to say, yeah, the SG stands for sour gut, not Stephen Grant. I mean, I could find emptiness in any glass, you know. But I'm recovering from that with the Lord's help and with the Holy Spirit upon my life. Part of that was I wasn't in obedience to God, and I was a very negative person because things didn't go right. Murphy's Law is right. And it was all my own doing because I would not obey God. I tried to practice sacrifice instead of obedience, and God does not bless that. He wants us to obey Him. If you turn to John chapter 6 and verse 1, I'm gonna speak on... Oh, sorry, Brother Chuck. I was like, I think I mine are on. I can see, so they must be on. On a full basket. Are you a glass? Now, what I do is I write out my whole sermon, just so you know. I don't chase rabbits because I have a tendency to go off in places we don't need to be this morning. So I'm going to read these notes for the most part. So I'm a pretty good reader. I was taught how to read at a young age, and I've continued to do that. But that's why I read the notes, just so I stay on task. And that's why I say we'll be out here by lunchtime, okay? I don't want anybody to be in hungry, okay? We're speaking about half glass half empty or a glass half full. How could you live in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or in this area and be a pessimist, though? I'm telling you, you guys really got something wrong with you if you can live here. At least in Casper, we have the wind to complain about. If you guys had the wind, though, I was telling Carly, if the wind was blowing, smoke would be in Wyoming right now, okay? How could you be a pessimist and live in God's creation right here? We were out driving around yesterday doing a little picking and grinning. No, we were just having fun with our friends. And what a beautiful state you guys live in. Man, it's beautiful here. Thank you for taking such good care of us. Are you a pessimist or an optimist? Where does faith fit into a Christian's optimism and pessimism? Got a story I'd like to start the service with. Love the prayer. Is that Brother Dale right there? Brother Dale, you wrote this story right here. I'm telling you, that was the Lord. The story is told of an African king and his gun bearer that grew up together. They were great friends. The glue of the friendship was the positive attitude of the gun bearer. No matter what happened, good or bad, he would always say, "This is good." One day they went hunting in the jungle. The gun bearer did not properly load the guns. That never happened in Idaho. I know that. You guys would properly load your guns. But this happened. The gun bearer did not properly load the gun. The king shot the rifle and ended up blowing off his thumb. He was in great pain and agony. I think about your pastor over there. He cut his thumb. About cut that thing half off yesterday. Oh, yeah. Thinking about that. Man, those thumbs are important. They're important. Well, this king blew off his... blew off his thumb, and in the midst of it, his friend said, "This is good, this is good, everything's good." Angered by this statement, as you can imagine, the king sent his friend to a filthy, terrible prison dungeon and got a new gun bearer. A year later, the king went hunting in a different part of the jungle, the part where the cannibals dwelt. It was a dangerous area for sure. Sure enough, the king and the new gun bearer were captured. The cannibals heated up the pot of stew and ate the gun bearer. The next day, the stew pot was heated up for the king. Then they noticed something. He was missing a thumb, and they stopped the preparations for the meal. It was bad luck to eat a guy without a thumb. The person who was to be eaten had to be all there. That'd rule me out. They wouldn't be. I'm not all here. The person who was to be eaten had to be all there, so the king was set free. Upon his return, he went to the prison and apologized to his friend released him from the prison. He apologized for the way he treated him, apologized for letting him rot in prison. The friend said, "Prison? This is good." King asked, "What do you mean? There are rats, roaches, lice, stench, and filth." The friend replied, "If I would not have been with you, or if I would have been with you, I would have been eaten. In fact, if you had not lost your thumb, both of us would have been meals." This is good. This is good. We don't know the beginning from the end. Only the Lord knows that. God can do great things and terrible events in our lives, and it's all for His glory, because we're not going to spend eternity here on this earth. We're going to spend it in heaven. Some are going to, unfortunately, spend it in hell. But for those of us that know the Lord as our Savior, we know this is working for His purpose. This is good. This is good. You could say that the Christian walk, the Christian life, should be an optimistic walk. Amen. Yeah. Missions giving is what we're going to talk about this morning. But you can apply this in other parts of your life. It's actually more than optimism, the Christian life. It's an act of faith. It's a walk of faith. Faith is more than optimism. It's a trust, and it's a belief that not only can God provide, but that He already has provided. He knows the beginning from the end. He has a purpose in mind. None of this stuff, not the smoke, not the fires, not the virus, not the tragedies in our lives. You know, we're praying for Justin. Praise God. We got to pray for him. And we got to uplift our brother. He's my brother. I've never met him. But we got to uplift him to the Lord. And God has a purpose. He has a plan. And we have to trust that by faith. We don't see everything. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. Thank God for that. If you ever walked a mile in these shoes, you would be thanking God His thoughts and His ways aren't our ways. I think we could all say that. Faith is more than optimism. In the story of the miracle of the 5,000 fed, we see that God, and that was just the men, if you read the other accounts. We're going to read out of John this morning. We see that God doesn't need our five loaves and two fishes. God doesn't need them. But we need God's blessing and His provision upon our life. And He asks us to give whatever we have back to Him so He can put it into use, and then He can bless us. We have to trust Him to live basket full lives. Not pessimistic, half-empty basket lives. Not optimistic, half-full basket lives. And sometimes when there's a word, when there's not a word for what I want to do, I make up my own words. So, faithfulistic, full basket life. Amen. I just make up my own words sometimes. I'll explain it to you if we need explained. But faithfulistic, full basket life. Is your basket full this morning? Honestly, I think most of us would have to say we're a few loaves short of a full basket. I got the greatest life on earth. I'm so blessed. But I catch myself sometimes looking at the basket ain't full. And I feel like, you know... Sometimes I feel like God's picking on me, or that this ain't the way it should be. Or I don't deserve this. I start looking at things in my own estimation, and I start thinking these five loaves and these two fish aren't enough. We got to get past that. As Christians, if we're going to have a full basket life, we've got to realize that God's going to do great and mighty things through us if we trust Him. If we do what He's asking us to do. I don't know what He's asking you to do. I'm accountable for Steve Adams. You're accountable for yourselves. You be honest with God and just do whatever He's asking you to do this morning. Is your basket full this morning? If not, today let's decide to trust Him. We can leave here with a full basket. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, we see three types of faith. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for Justin. We're going to pray for God to do great things in here too. There's some healing in here that may need to be done. We can do that today. We can do that this morning. I pray that everyone's saved. If you're not, find Christ as your Savior today. You'll leave with a full basket. Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for all the blessings we have. Thank you for bringing us here to Coeur d'Alene. Thank You for this great church here, Lord. I just ask for Your blessings to be upon us today as we've gathered in Your name. Lord, help us remember You're in our presence. Lord, I got no words to say, and Lord, I don't speak well. Help me today, Lord. Give me the words to say that would fit the needs that are here, Lord, at this very time. Thank You for allowing us to be here, Lord, and to gather and to worship. I pray for those that their health is threatened by whatever, Lord, by the virus or by other things. Pray for Justin. We uplift him and his family to You today. Lord, it's a trial, and we just ask that You'd be near us, Lord, be near them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's read John chapter 6 in verse 1. I'm going to go over here. After these sayings, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. There must have been a bunch, right? We know that there's 5,000, and that's not counting the women and children. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men, Jesus knew He was going to have them sit down, didn't He? Brought up, he sat there. He knew this field was going to be much grass there, be a comfortable place for everybody to sit, and also to have a bite, more than a bite, to fill themselves. Make the men sit down. So there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. And the disciples, to how many disciples? 12? 12? Well, there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. How are we going to, how do we divide this, Brother Chuck? How are we going to do this? Oh, that's good. He distributed to the disciples to them that were set down. Lord gives to us. As the Lord blesses us, we get to give to others, and we get to be a blessing to them. I'm so glad it's the Lord's, and when He gives it to me, I can say, "Hey, praise the Lord! I didn't do that. God did it. I'm just a middleman here. This, God gave it to me, and I get to bless you with it. Praise the Lord! It's all for His glory. That's how God's economy works. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as the fishes, as much as they would. Eat till you're full." When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This of a truth that the prophet that should come, this is of a truth that that prophet that should come into the world. This is Jesus. The Lord can do great things. with our small offerings. The first thing we notice here, there's three types of faith. There's pessimistic little faith. The pessimistic little faith in verses 5 through 7. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company, we see Philip with a pessimistic faith. Jesus asked him the question, Jesus asking you anything this morning? Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth, 200 days' wages ain't enough. I don't know about you, but I do pretty good in a day. I can't imagine that not being enough to feed. This was a big crowd. It's not enough, Lord. 200 pennyworth, we don't know where he got the 200 pennyworth. We don't know if it was in the bag that the thief held, Judas held. We don't know if it was there. We don't know if he just came up with a, man, I could work all year and never feed all these people. Yeah. That was the kind of response it was. You ever respond to God that way, with pessimistic?
No way.
No way. No way, Brother Chuck. Not sufficient for them that everyone may take a little. Pessimistic little faith. It's not sufficient. It's not enough. Jesus asked, where are we getting the bread to feed these people? Jesus didn't say, can we afford to feed them, Philip? Can we afford it? Would you go count the bag, see what we got, 200 penny? Oh, we can't feed them. Why did I ever say we'll feed you guys? And then, oh, mercy. He wasn't asking that. He's like, where's the source? What's the bread source? Philip, you going to go down to the bread store? Ah, they don't have enough bread in the bread store. We can't feed them. Why'd you ever bring it up, Lord? You ever say that? You guys don't ever have conversations with the Lord? I do, yeah. They're not all pleasant. Jesus didn't say, can we afford to feed him? Where are we getting the bread? Philip, I want you to know where this bread's coming from. Who will provide it? God will. Little faith praises God for the car, the house, but never believes a miracle will happen. Little faith never believes that God's going to, and if it does happen, guess what us of the pessimistic sort do? We start trying to explain it. Well, you know, all the circumstances came around, and then that made this happen. And we never believe a miracle. That God did a miracle. Right. He's still a miracle-working God. Pessimistic faith, it's little faith, and it sees money and human resources, and that's it. That's it. Little faith, hopeless, meager. What's the use? Impossible. Can't. God isn't sufficient, is what that faith says. He either doesn't care, or this issue doesn't warrant his provision. So why we even bother to pray about it? Who says God can't? I mean, there's some verses there. God says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If God's asking you to feed 5,000 people, plus their women and children, he'll provide it. If he asks you to do it, he will provide. That's what the Bible says. That's not me coming from Wyoming telling you some tall tales. That's what the Bible says. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. O me of little meager faith. I didn't say we, I said me. That's me. God is our bread source. You can take bread either way you want to. We used to say bread for money for you younger guys. I don't even know if I ever said it, but I know that's what it used to mean. We've got to trust God. He's our bread source. There ain't no bread store going to provide. Sorry for the ain'ts. I'm going to get in trouble later because I made up these words and then I'm saying ain't. And man. We're used to it, Brother Bobby. Yeah, amen. O me of little faith, O Lord, help my faith. J.D. Jones said, duty is not measured by ability, and ability is not measured by the sum total of our resources. Not measured by the sum total of our resources. So enough on that little pessimistic faith. I want to move from that, don't you? That's stepping on my toes a little bit. How about optimistic half faith? You see that in verses 8 and 9. One of the disciples, Andrew. Andrew did this? Simon Peter's brother saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. Can we just drop it there? No, we ain't going to drop it. What are they among so many? Even the optimist said, nah, this ain't working. Andrew says, here's a lad with little. But what are they among so many? You know what? These aren't even good loaves. These are little lunch loaves, and they're barley. Barley was the lowest for the poor people. They're barley loaves. They're not even big fish. Well, what's Andrew know about fish? He was a fisherman. Fisherman. Now, if Andrew would have caught these fish, they would have been big because he was a fisherman. But when somebody else catches it, that ain't a big fish. That's what he's saying. This ain't a big fish. Notice the adjectives there. I think that's the right word. They're not adverbs. They're not action. They're describing something, right? Did he have to say, Brother Chuck, did he have to say barley loaf? You know, because that's a put down. Barley loaf. And how many fish? What kind of fish? Big fish. Right. Sardines. Bread cakes for the poor and small fish. Do you ever have small fish and sardines? Some of us, all we have is barley bread and small fish. But those that do often use it for God's glory. Amen. To do God's work. When my dad was called to the ministry, he was in a big old church. I had told the people earlier, it was like 1,300 people down in Texas, and he walked the aisle. He was in his early 20s. He was real shy. He wasn't backwards, but he had to quit school in seventh grade to go earn a living like many people of his generation did. And he walked the aisle. God put a call on his heart. He was saved. God put a call on his heart. He came down to the altar. And his Sunday school teacher, Art George, came up there and said, Grant, what'd you come for today? And my dad said, Lord's calling me to be a pastor. And you know what his Sunday school teacher said? Grant, you're a barley loaf, small fish guy. You, God didn't call you to be a pastor. I know you. I you're not called to be a pastor, buddy. Well, you know what? My dad didn't let that deter me. We got to be careful here. Hey, Andrew, we must be careful here. We are not the Holy Spirit. We don't dictate to others what the Lord is doing in their lives. And we got to be careful here. We count the offering. Barley loaves and fish. How are we going to pay the bills? The Lord can do great things with it. We got to be real careful with our optimistic view of things. Anything short of faith doesn't please God. Doesn't please God. Barley, bread, and small fish is saying, I can only give. It says, I only have so much. And how far can it go? What difference will it make? I don't know. Maybe that dollar that you gave, some missionary out there was able to give a tract to someone. And that person got saved. I don't know. Maybe that 50 cents you gave that you didn't drink a soda this week for, that you scrimped and you saved. Every fragment, God says, pick up every last bit of that, and we're not going to waste any of it. Every last nickel, every last penny that comes in goes to support someone who's out there giving the message, and God can bless that. We got to be careful with our optimistic view of our Christian walk. I don't know how how God does it. Ask Him. If He laid it in your heart to do it, do it. Give and trust Him to do the rest. Oswald Chambers said, with Christ, it is not how much we give, but what we give is the real test. What we give, what's your heart in that? So there's a little pessimistic faith, and here's the one I want to get to. There's optimistic half faith. We've done that one. In verses 11 through 14, one more time. Jesus took the loaves. Do you remember the widow and those two mites? About 3 days before Jesus went to die on the cross. What did He do? He went and observed the giving. And all them rich guys came in there and they threw their money in there, it said. They tossed in there. If you want to read it, it's Luke 21. I don't want to take time to read it. But you know the story. Those rich guys came in there. Who do we celebrate? Those that give the big gifts. God can do great things with those big gifts. They gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her heart. She gave her all. She gave it all. I'm not telling you to clean your checkbook out. I'm not telling you to give Brother Bobby your credit card so you can, they can run it up. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if God's spoken to your heart to do something, just do it. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to explain it. Just do it. Just do it. Trust God. Because that's what this third one is. Let's read 11 through 14. Jesus took the loaves. When they had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. And the disciples, right, we already said that. God gave to them. They gave it to the people. We're just giving you what God's given us. And Jesus took the loaves when He had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. As much as they would. That when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Yeah, there's that word again. And poor people loaves. Fill them up, boys. Which remained over and above unto those that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen that miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that the prophet that should come, that this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Faithfulistic, full faith. How is it that there were thousands of people there? You probably heard this question asked before, I'm sure. But how is it that there were thousands of people there and only one lad had 5 loaves and 2 small fish, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish? How is it that out of all these thousands of people, well, I hid mine in my pocket because I ain't sharing. If we get lost Carla and I are driving somewhere and it looks like we're about to run out of gas or something, like, you got any chips or anything over there? All the while, I got a spare bag over here, but I ain't sharing because we got to open it to the whole community then. You know, why is it? Were some of them holding out? I don't think so. This lad was the only one that had anything with him. I don't think he woke up that morning, Brother Bobby, and said, I'm packing a lunch because Brother Chuck, the Lord's going to feed thousands of people with my lunch today. I don't think he woke up that way, but I think he said, I'm going to go prepared. I'm going to be prepared. Whatever God asked me to do, I'm going to do it. The lad, the no-name lad, not even mentioned in the other accounts of this miracle, in the other gospel accounts of this miracle. He's not even mentioned. The one who had a little and gave it all for the Lord's work. God, you can have all I have. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Oh, what the Lord can do with our little. God can use anybody with anything to accomplish His work. The good part is, and we have to remember that we all have a role. We all have a responsibility. And I don't think I'm reading too much into this story when I say that this little lad represents most faithful people. This lad represents most of us. I got 5 barley loaves. I got 2 small fish. I got to eat. Guys got to eat. That's all we had. And I got to feed my family. And the Lord says, just give it. Give it my name. I'll do great things with it. We all have a role. This little lad represents most faithfulistic people. The world doesn't think much of them. The important Andrew and Philip, the pastors, they don't talk about them much. Hardly ever even mention them. But they're the ones that God really uses. They're the ones that God really blesses as well. I think of this family in our church. These people have nothing. Yet they give, and they give, and they give. And I'm like, man, your roof leaks. Brother Steve, your roof's leaking. You know? Nope, Lord told me to give you this. Next thing I know, I walk in there and there's a book on my desk in there. I know who it came from. It came from Miss Deb. I just think about you, Pastor. I just thought about you today. They're the ones nobody half the time don't even want to talk to them. But they're the ones working in the background, doing everything they can. They're the ones that are giving themselves to prayer. They're the ones that are praying for Carl and I when we came over to Idaho. They're the ones over there holding the rope, praying, saying, we can't do much. We only got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but we're going to give it all to God, and God's going to get the glory for our lives. Amen. You know what? They have much more than any of those rich people that have never given, that have never obeyed God. This little lad represents most of us, most of the faithful people. Someone who says, it's all yours, Lord. I know you'll take better care of me than my own resources. And thousands of people are blessed. Stomachs are full. Looks like there may have been some healings there. Baskets are full. The disciples' baskets were full. All over one lad's meager little offering in our estimation. I'll guarantee you, it never says it, but we can read in between the lines that that lad, that young boy, his life was never the same. Look what the Lord did. I was there that day. You know whose barley loaf that was? I don't even think he was saying that, but he sat there with a smile on his face. God did it. God did it. This is good. This is good. Took home more than he brought, Brother Bobby. Basket was full, wasn't it? Yeah. His life was never the same again. Yours and mine can be the same. It can be forever changed if we just trust the Lord with what we have. Trust Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your mind, all your strength. Trust Him with it. Trust Him with your wallet. Even us pessimists can get a basket full. We can. Because even us, we can live by faith. Trust Him with your sustenance. He will fill your basket. Is your basket full today? Have you given Him your heart? Have you given Him your obedience? Have you given Him your treasure? Have you given Him your soul? Until we give Him our all. As I told, I don't know when I told the story, but I was a miserable human being, made our marriage miserable for the first 16 years of our life because I would not give the Lord my obedience. And until I did that, until I said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll get up there in front of people, which I Lord, how can I do that? I only got barley loaves and I only got sardines, Lord. How can I do that? And the Lord said, I'll bless it. You don't worry about that. Amen. You know what? Our next 9 years, they've been perfect. They haven't been heavenly, but they've been a lot better. Why? Because I chose to trust God. And I gave him my heart. I gave him my obedience. Until you do, you're going to be a few loaves short. If even that. Some of you never had your basket filled, meaning you never trusted Christ your Savior. I implore you to do it today. No better time than right now. God's got your heart in this position. He's spoken to you today. And whatever God's led you to do, I'm going to close with that. Are you living a basket full life? Is your basket full today? Amen? Let's stand. Please close your eyes, bow your heads, and we'll have a verse of invitation today. If God's spoken to your heart, if you'd like to come pray for Justin, he's heavy on my heart. If you'd like to come pray for him today, why don't you come? Why don't you come do that? Make some decisions that are going to fill your basket today.